So thank you very much, everyone, for joining this special Strategy, Policy and Resource Committee. The agenda isn't as heavy as what our SPNR meeting was earlier in the month, but some important items to be discussed just to get and support our officers in moving things forward. So the first item is apologies. Is there any apologies? No? Okay. Chair's person's remarks, just as we are used to. With it all, the script, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. And please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments. Use an instant messaging in the events the two councillors propose at the same time. The person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, everyone's happy enough for that. Moving on then to item number two, declarations of interest, both councillors and officers. If there is any. Nope, none tonight. Perfect. All right, moving on then to item number three, which is the Irish Language Bursary Scheme. And that's over to Regina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A report on the suspended Irish language bursary scheme for the period 2020-21 was considered at the SPNR committee on the 11th of June. And at that meeting, it was proposed to proceed with option two with a slight amendment, and it was that we were to review the proposal as suggestion of payment in advance of attendance and that a report be brought back to the Irish Language Working Group for consideration. There was a meeting held of the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group on the 23rd of June 20, and the following was agreed by the members present. And the recommendation this evening is that Council's Irish Language Unit proceed to reopen the Irish Language Bursary Scheme for 2021. For calls related to the periods April to September 20 and October 20 to March 21, that the underspend within the Irish Language Bursary Scheme budget for the period April to September 20 be ring-fenced for the next financial year, i.e. 21-22, and that officers to give consideration as to the appropriate governance, including applicants' letters of offers and the opening date for a call for applications to an Irish Language Bursary Scheme in the period 21-22, and that's to be tabled for consideration at a future meeting of the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Regina. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you.
Councillor O'Murray was in there first.
Are you sure?
Gareth, can you not see my ladders? Because this happened the last meeting as well, where Sarah
I can see it after Councillor Lewis.
But on my computer it's before it.
It's before on my computer.
Yeah, it's before on
mine.
All right, go ahead.
All right. No, well, on mine's it is Councillor Lewis and Councillor Murray, but we'll go, that's okay. Don't know what it is on my side, but Councillor Murray then.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Regina, for the report. There has been a couple of meetings about this. Yeah, there was a meeting of the Irish Language Working Group, and then it went to the last SPNR. There was a wee bit of confusion around the wording. It went back to the Irish Language Working Group, Irish Language Strategy Working Group. I suppose the feeling at the Irish Language Strategy Working Group was to explore whether this scheme could be slightly amended to for applicants to be able to apply for this budget for next year's Gaeltacht. So, you know, what we were getting back from the council officers was no, there's no payment in advance. You can't pay it in advance. What we were saying back was the whole aim of this scheme is to make it easier for people to be able to afford to go to the Gaeltacht. So if the course costs £620 and a child gets a half scholarship, which is £310, would it not be better to give it to them to let them know in October that they've got it? And if they can't give the money out, to even give a letter of offer to say, congratulations, you've won a half scholarship, you've won £310, that then the parent would only have to pay £310. So these are the type of conversations that we're having at that Irish Language Strategy Working Group. There's still a long way to go. We've asked Dorina and Regina and everybody to go back and look at the governance of it, to look at how we could possibly work this. But I'm very happy to propose the officer's report here today. All right? Proposed.
Thank you, Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Gareth. No, I was just to ask Regina, through the chair, if there is any other schemes being ring-fenced in this way. I do think that money should be ring-fenced in every scheme that hasn't been available to take place this year due to the conditions, but just to check if that's being done for all the other schemes as well.
Okay.
Chair, if I could maybe come in on that one. Any ring fencing of budgets will all be subject to the rates process. But I suppose the recommendation coming from the Irish Language Working Group is that we will try and ring fence this one for next year. There has been talk about other financial assistance schemes that have not been able to be spent in the current financial year, but looking at potentially ring fencing those budgets into next year. All of it we'll have to consider again when we look at the rates process, but I suppose it's recording that intention at this point.
Are you happy enough there, Councillor Lewis?
Yes, I am, Yelkas. Thank you.
Okay. I have Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. Well, I was going to second it, but I see Councillor Doran has beaten me to it. I'm happy to go by what the committee has been discussing. I can see the merits in what Barra is proposing. As I said, you know, I'm very much in favour of supporting young children, particularly those from backgrounds where they normally couldn't afford that sort of money to get away to the Gaeltacht and learn the language, and not only that, experience other things and other interactions outside of their own immediate community. But I certainly was supporting it. I think the body of work that needs to be done in the direction outlined. I think we should be looking to ring fence the funding so that children don't miss the opportunity to get to the Gaeltacht who would otherwise have been this year. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Walker, you have a question?
Sorry, I was on mute there. I'm not opposed to it being ring-fenced, but to pick up on what Councillor Lewis had said, you know, I think there's other things going to come forward here that are merit the funding, and I would like to hope that when they do come forward, that all councillors, if someone suggests that money is ring-fenced for something, that all councillors fall in behind it and say, yes, that merits it, we will ring-fence that too. Because if we don't, I think, you know, we're going to set a precedent here in relation to ring-fencing money. As I said, I'm not opposed to it, so I'm not. You know, it's money that should have been rolled out there because it was agreed in this financial year, but because of the COVID crisis we're in, that's not happening. But you know, I just hope that when other things come forward and that and the merit it, other councillors will fall in behind it and say yes, that is deserving to be ring fenced. That deserves to be ring fenced. So that's all I want to say in relation to it.
Okay. And Councillor Walker, I'd just add, obviously, with the efficiency working groups going to be meeting quite frequently over the next couple of months, we can certainly look into those areas as well, but I take on your comments. Councillor Dorn, you had second. Is there anything that you wanted to add?
We're just happy to second, Chair.
Okay. All right. So we have a proposer by Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Dorn, to accept the recommendations. Everyone's content with that? Yeah. All right. Then moving on to item number four. Thank you, Regina. Moving on then to item number four, the pavement, CAFE legislation and utilisation of council open spaces. And that's yourself, Connor.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Now, the paper tonight in front of you is around making space available through the pavement CAFE legislation to our hospitality traders and looking at the COVID revitalisation fund that DHFC have recently released. Hopefully the paper is self-explanatory, but some of the key issues from the paper would be that, you know, it's obvious that social distancing, regardless of the relaxation to 1 metre today, are going to pose difficulties for the hospitality sector in increasing and getting their numbers up to make them to allow them to open viably in the future. As we know, council are responsible for administering the Payment Cafes Act and processing applications and issuing the licences. We're actively encouraging the hospitality traders to avail of the procurement or of the Payment Cafe licence, and we have issued an expression of interest this week to determine the demand. To date, we have had 10 returns expressing an interest, and one application has been submitted. So I think that's a good return to date. Council also have assets, outdoor assets in strategic locations that could be used by the hospitality sector where they cannot avail of a pavement license due to narrow footpaths or pathways to the front of their premises. The current fee for the Payment Cafe licence is £375. Now, that lasts for a three-year period, and there's a reduction, I think, of £100 then for renewal after the three-year period. As I mentioned, DFC have released a COVID revitalisation fund, and there's an allocation of £860,000 for the district. And the application has been submitted to DFC this week, and we hope that tranche one of that funding will be released to the council in July this year. And it's the proposal that we use that tranche one of the revitalisation fund to provide some new permanent infrastructure along our public realm and our council-owned assets to try and provide that infrastructure for outdoor activities and to try and provide space for people to gather outdoor in a socially distanced manner. So, as I say, the recommendations in the report are that members approve that officers develop a list of open spaces that are considered suitable to be made available to hospitality traders to make an application for a Payment Cafe licence, that members consider temporary relaxation of the current Payment Cafe licence fee of £375, and that if we are successful in securing a letter of offer from the department, that members approve that officials develop and deliver a programme of revitalisation works in the form of seating, benches, tables, pergolas, etc. to facilitate outdoor gatherings in a socially distanced manner. So I'm happy to take questions.
Okay, we've a number of questions. Just in response to Councillor McMurray, it is obviously the Chair's discretion bringing members that aren't members of SPNR. So as I said at the first SPNR meeting earlier this month, I will bring in non-members, but I try and limit it to one time only for each item. So if you do have a question, if you can group them together if you're a non-member. So, Councillor Byrne, you're the first one.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks, Conor, for the paper. I know there's a proposal and second in the recommendations, but I'm not fully content with the recommendations. I'm going to be making a counter-proposal on them. So, I suppose, from Nicola Mallon had read the letter to councils, I've been engaging with local businesses, and you know this, Conor, I contacted you on the 16th of June to try and push this, especially in public spaces in Cross Midlen. Not so much on the pavements, where we have wide pavements in areas in Cross Midlen outside the Cross Square Hotel that already has outdoor seating, but I'm also aware that, you know, disabled access on pavements is an issue, but more on council land. And that's where I have an issue with maybe the first recommendation. So if we sign off, an officer's going out to compile a list of the council assets of the council public spaces that could be used, that then comes back subsequently to the meeting in committee in August, not ratified till council in September, and that's something that we can't wait. We missed the whole summer with businesses. We need to be on the front foot in this. And I think before breaking for the council in July, I think it's a really good news story. I think everybody's on board with this, but we need to make sure that businesses that are ready to go, and many of them won't be, but those that are ready to go can avail of this straight away. So when you're saying that businesses can avail of maybe the public assets when we compile the list, where they don't have a pavement space, I would add to that that they could avail of it whether to do a pavement space or not. I think if some businesses would be able to expand onto public areas that is very, very close to their premises and attract more people into a cafe culture. I think that along with compiling a list, we can assess applications and in parallel to compiling that list. So, for example, if business A in Newry is ready to go with an application, and they want to use council land, instead of them waiting for a list to be compiled and signed off by committee and ratified by full council, whatever criteria we're putting on that list, you know, to have it on the list in the first place, whatever criteria that has to pass, we should assess their application by the same criteria. So by the time it comes back to us in the committee in August, we could have a number of businesses up and operating on public assets that have already passed the same criteria that you're populating that list with. So I do want to put an amendment to your recommendations and ask that applications on council sites would be assessed using the criteria that we're populating the list with in parallel with compiling a list. And I think that's us being completely proactive. I also want to get clarification then, and that's a proposal I make. I also want to get clarification on relaxing. You know, I mean, I look for ambiguity in wards, and there is a lot of ambiguity in relaxing the fee of £375. We need to come out there with a firm proposal to say to businesses, we're on your side, we're waiving the fee for a period of time, whether we're waiving it for 12 months, and we're looking, I know that fee is what the licence is granted for 3 years. So we're making a commitment here to assess applications immediately on certain sites. I know DFI has to go through its own hurdles on pavements and that, and I fully accept that. We're going to move ahead with council sites and work with you where the council sites are fit for purpose, and we are waiving the fee for applications for 12 months at least. And that's the two changes I'd make. I completely agree with the DFC money that we could then maybe put furniture and maybe expand or enhance these public spaces if we did be successful in getting that money through that fund. But if we're not, many businesses are in a position to do that themselves and take ownership of those sites. So I would make those two amendments to the proposals and hopefully everybody else can support that.
Councillor Burton, could you just clarify, sorry, the second part, I got the amendment of for the applications to be assessed in parallel with the criteria and list to be gathered. What was the second part, sorry?
Yeah, and recommend it. I unmuted there, yeah? Yeah. Recommendation 3.2 is to consider temporary relaxation of the current pavement cafe licence. Yeah. Waive the fee for 12 months, at least. Okay. So waiving of the fee, that's giving a firm commitment. People don't like sort of iffy language that we're relaxing a temporary. What's temporary? You know, so we're waiving the fee for 12 months. We're well aware that you grant a 3-year licence, and we're going to open up council assets immediately and assess them in parallel with compiling a list.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And it's Councillor Savage as he seconded your amendment and counter-proposal. Okay, I'm going to go through the list. So, Councillor Finnegan, you are a non-member, so I'll let you in as long as it's only the once.
No, I think Councillor Burns has covered. I've been in contact with the businesses as well, and I have to say I agree with everything that he said. So I'm not going to go on because I do want to get in later on. Okay, thank you.
All right. Councillor Walker, you've proposed the officers' recommendations, but in light of Councillor Burns' amendment and counter-proposal, are you still...
No, I'm happy enough with what Councillor Byrne has said there. I would fully support what he had said.
All right, so you're withdrawing your proposal then?
Right, yes.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McMurray, you were wanting in to ask a question.
Thank you, Chair, for indulging me. Yeah, I mean, Councillor Byrne has, as ever, very articulately covered quite a range of points. Again, it was just really the point that Councillor Byrne made, and I would just like to sort of was the issue about mobility and you know, people maybe visually impaired across the district. I think it's an incredibly good idea to help the businesses and pavement cafes and all the rest of it, but we just have to be conscious of that. But I think it's a really good opportunity, and there's also some very creative opportunities as well within the district. You know, in my own area, there's Upper Square in Castle Wellham that maybe could be thought of quite creatively with that regards too. But yes, that was the main point. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Murray, I'm assuming, given that Councillor Walker's withdrawn his proposal, your second is removed as well, unless you had any questions.
Never assume chairperson.
Well, he can't be seconding the proposal that's no longer there, so that's my assumption.
Yeah, well, thanks for letting me in, and now I'll be able to speak. I was very happy with what Pete had to say. I think it's prudent that we probably say, instead of relaxing, that we are waiving it for 12 months. 12 months, a realistic sort of a thing too. We've all been engaging with businesses. I can think of a couple of businesses in Newtown there, the car park at the side of the Cozy Bar, the front of the hotel across from the community association, community centre and that. So, look, there's great opportunities. This can be a real good news story for some of our bars and restaurants and out there, and places, you know, that are relying on a bit of goodwill from council, but that are afraid to open, that are really afraid to open, and people are afraid to go to it. So this is going to be an extra layer of protection for people and out there. So, yeah, look, if I don't know if anyone has seconded Pete's proposal, but if not, I'm seconding it.
All right, thank you. Okay. Councillor Savage has. Councillor Murray, but thank you. Councillor Savage, you're next.
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, no, Chair. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with the comments that Pete has made, and I'd like to see a period of work done over the coming days and weeks, hands-on with the hospitality sector, not just within the cafes, but also the bars, who are going to be opened up with some degree of trepidation. I know some of the bars in Uri, for example, they're low ceilings, and there's not a big lot of space. Some of them have the luxury of beer gardens, and I think we should be looking at maybe to develop things with 3ERT over the coming weeks, whereby we can allow for sort of open-air sales, potentially, of alcohol where it is much safer, and social distancing is easier, to maybe work with the hospitality and licensed trade to see if we can add further dimensions to their ability to claw back a lot of lost revenue. We have a domestic tourism market that we need to tap into here over the coming weeks. I think this is a very positive step. I've seen some of the proposals coming from some of the cafes in particular. They're very professionally done. They've taken this seriously. And I commend Connor and that on the work that has been done. We've got to send a very clear message to business. We're here to support you. These are unprecedented times. We need to take unprecedented steps and do it on a large scale and roll it out in a way that we show that we've an intent to work with businesses to help them grow their businesses again and claw back a lot of very badly lost revenue and help secure the most vulnerable jobs in business at the moment, that's within the hospitality sector. So I fully endorse everything that Councillor Byrne has said. In particular, we need to send out the message that we want to waive these fees for the next 12 months. I think that's seen is probably one of the most important things to the businesses out there that we're seeing to be working with them and giving them a chance. Thanks, Chair.
And just for the auto, you have seconded, so just for the auto, if you can say that, please.
I second the proposal, yeah.
Right, thank you. Councillor Gallagher?
Hi, Chair. Most of the conversation that I was going to discuss has kind of been answered, and actually has been said. It is that aspect of supporting our community, supporting the businesses out there. One of the issues that I think that was raised there by Councillor McMurray is that accessibility. I think it is having the seats outside, I think, is very important. I think it is making sure that those with physical impairments, physical disabilities, is not imposed. Hopefully that won't be an issue. I don't see a major issue, but it's just something we need to note. But I do fully support this, and hopefully, as I say, as a council, obviously recognising now that these businesses are on their knees. There are so many folks waiting for the jobs to come back, and anything that we can do to help promote that in a wider area, I think is vital. But that's all I have to say, Chair.
Okay, thank you. All right, proposed by Councillor Burns and by Councillor Savage. So it's that applications be assessed in parallel with the criteria, and that the officers develop a list of open spaces that would be suitable, and then that we are stating that we are waivering the fee for 12 months, and then the 3.3 stays the same. Isn't that correct? Happy, everyone's in agreement with that?
Yep.
Yep. All right, perfect. Moving on then to item number 5, which is the Brexit Forum membership, and that's yourself again, Connor.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Again, this paper is a proposal to consider the membership of the Brexit Forum. As outlined in the paper, the Council Brexit Forum is made up of Council members, and it was formed to discuss the ongoing Brexit-related issues that are relevant to the Council, and to make recommendations and to report back on the work of the Forum to the ERT Committee and subsequently full Council. Brexit preparedness is gathering momentum in the form of negotiations over a trade deal and the exit from the EU and the Northern Ireland Protocol. It's gathering a lot of momentum, and there will be a lot of activity over the next few months. I'm conscious that the next meeting of the Forum is on the 30th of June, which is just next week. So due to the expected increase in activity in respect of the Brexit negotiations over the coming months, the recommendation to the members is as set out in 3.1, that the Council consider the current membership of the Brexit Forum and adopt a membership structure similar to Council project boards of two Sinn Féin, two SDLP, one Ulster Unionist, one DUP and one Alliance stroke independent. So I'm happy to take questions.
Okay. Councillor Murray's proposed.
Yes, I'm happy to make the proposal, and again, it's a common sense sort of a move which is going to take it into line with similar council project boards, so happy to propose.
And Councillor McGuinness has seconded. You may be on mute, Lena.
Yeah, I'm happy to second that.
Right. Connor, just a question. Do you need names before the 30th, or...?
Yes, I was going to say that if the proposal was carried, that it would need names of the two additional members and confirmation of the current membership. So if I could have that by probably close of play Monday.
Okay.
And it would give the new members time to arrange their diaries to be able to attend the meeting as well.
All right. So is everyone in agreement then?
Yep, that's that on.
Okay, perfect. So if we can get those names, just as Connor says, so that the members can organise their diaries and get a view of the papers. Okay, folks, the next items are in committee, so I just need a proposer and seconder to go into committee, please.
Gareth, can you just, sorry for the record, read out while you're doing
line.
That? Yes, sorry.
I was going to go do the lines first, and then I was like, no, I'll get a proposer in second or first. I did it right last time, Emery. So these items.
You've been doing a fantastic job, Gareth.
Items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. It's been proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Murray to go into committee. And can you say that then?
Sorry, Chair, I'm just going to let the press back in here as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's us now.
Okay. And sir, you can keep me right, given that I hopefully have recorded correctly. So while in committee, under item 6, events contracts, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, to note the contents of the report, and officers to continue to engage with suppliers on outstanding payments to determine eligible costs incurred and to settle these invoices as soon as possible. Item 7, car parking charges, as agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharp and seconded by Councillor Savage. We propose the Council delay the introduction of car parking charges until Monday the 10th of August and be reviewed before reintroduction of car parking charges, and also that members agree to recommence enforcement of parking compliance across the district on the 1st July 2020. Item 8, asset disposal, agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray, seconded by Councillor Byrne, to note the contents of the report attached Appendix A, to remove 7 assets from the surplus asset listing and retain for Council use, Myersfield Recreation Area, Camlock, Art McCooley Play Park, Glasdrummond, Cross Midlane, Bog Road Amity Area, Picnic Area, Play Area, Fork Hill, Linkside Play Park Area, Newcastle, Carlingford Park Play Area and Bitmat Area in Newry, surplus strip of land, St. Fee Community Centre, and Gallows Hill, Steel Road, Upper Scott Street, Downpatrick. To release 6 assets deemed surplus for open market sale, Ashtree Former Play Area, Refer Island Road, Newry, Burley Bungalows Play Area, Newry, the Refuge Site in Newry, Daisy Hill Nurseries, Newry, Lockkeeper's Cottage, Newry Canal, and Crown Villas Play Area, Newry, and to release 1 asset on the D1 process, Lismore Park Playing Fields, Cross Midland. Item 9, rates at John Mitchell Place, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Byrne, that members to authorise the direct payment to LPS of the sum of $9,282, representing the arrears of rates on behalf of the tenant of Unit 18B, Newry Market, and to note the proposed regularisation of legal agreements with all occupiers of these units. Hopefully that was all right, Sarah.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Great.
Okay, folks, that is the end of the meeting. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, Jack.